Welcome to Take Note on WPSU. I'm Patty Satalia. Since the United Nations Volunteers Program began in 1971, more than 50,000 volunteers have been mobilized around the world. Volunteers help organize and run local and national elections and support a large number of peacekeeping and humanitarian projects. What does it take to become a volunteer? And are volunteers making a real difference? We'll talk about that and more with Jennifer Stapper, Communications Chief for the United Nations Volunteers Program. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Joy to be here. Thanks.
What is the United Nations Volunteer Program? Explain how it contributes to peace and development worldwide.
Sure. The United Nations Volunteers Program is a part of the United Nations. This is the uniqueness of it in the sense that some say we're the Peace Corps of the UN, you might say. We mobilize volunteers, but what we do that's especially different is that all of the volunteers that contribute their time and commitment to making a difference are actually placed inside of United Nations projects or even peacekeeping missions. We work with about 27 of the agencies and the peacekeeping missions within the United Nations. The United Nations is made up of a large group of specialized agencies and programs, and we work with them in making sure there's a fit between people that want to contribute their skills and their time with the real needs in these projects.
You know, you're at Penn State as part of the Arthur W. Page Center's Professional in Residence program, in a way enlightening the next generation of communicators. Tell us a bit about your role as UNV's communications chief.
This is a real privilege to be here, to talk to young people that are interested in communications as a profession. I have a real passion in believing that communications can really make a difference in peace and development in the world. And the reason being is that, an organization is really only as good as what people know about it. The United Nations on a bigger scale and United Nations volunteers on a smaller scale, what we do and the impact that we make every day in the world sometimes is overlooked. You have a lot in the media about, disasters, terrible things that are happening in the world. And it's true. And the United Nations is always there. But the United Nations is also there on a day-to-day basis, really working with people in communities and doing great activities that are really making things better for people.
I'd like to explore a little bit about what these volunteers are doing. First, I'd like to begin with how important volunteers are to the United Nations' overall goals.
That's a great question. I'm so happy that you brought that up. The United Nations is at the moment starting a new era. The Sustainable Development Goals have been agreed upon last fall, and we're working on 17 new goals.
And so these dovetail with the Millennium Development Goals, and of course there are 8 of those.
Exactly.
All revolving around eliminating extreme poverty around the globe.
Exactly. So the difference, the uniqueness in the Sustainable Development Goals is that they're taking those Millennium Development Goals one step further and talking about sustainability, which people might say, well, what does that mean? And what it is really integrating social, economic, and environmental goals. And what is really wonderful about this is that it's universal, which means that we're not talking anymore about development only in a certain part of the world. We're not talking about development only in what you might label as developing countries or the global south. And how volunteerism plays into this is that volunteerism is also universal. It's a value that you see in every single culture in the world. It's something that people really do innately within their communities. And what we're trying to get across on a much bigger global scale is that contribution to society is really what we call sometimes the secret ingredient in sustainable development and peace.
The interesting thing is that according to a growing body of research, and most recently a study by the Harvard School of Public Health, volunteering is actually good for our health. People who volunteer are less inclined to end up in the hospital, and there's some research to suggest that they live longer.
That's right. That's right. I was very pleased to see that research because we've known it for quite some time. UNV, UN volunteers, we actually published a report in 2011 about well-being, which is exactly that subject, about the fact that volunteerism, which many people already know, but we want to make that clear, is what we call a two-way street. It's not just what you're giving to the community.
It's what you're getting.
It's what you're getting out of it as well.
Now, you have something in the neighborhood of 6,300 volunteers from places all over the world. And I'm curious to know how you recruit them and then how you place them.
We start basically with the agencies. As I mentioned, we're part of the United Nations, and our mandate is to really serve the United Nations and the programs and the peacekeeping missions. So we are out there as a service for them, and they ask for certain skill sets. You know, they see within their programming, for example, a water program in Nigeria. They would see that they were in need of a water engineer for a certain amount of time. They come to us, they have the specifications of what that type of volunteer assignment might entail, and then we have a roster on our website, unv.org, and people have signed up maybe previously, or they see through our social media channels that something would be available. If they feel that they have the skill set, they would be put on the roster, and then they would put themselves on the roster, and then we would go from there and start matching up. I have to say it is a very rigorous screening, and we do make sure that we really get the right fit.
You're looking for, you have requirements in terms of professional experience, academic experience, and even personality. Is this someone who is flexible, adaptable, emotionally stable? Because they are put into some situations that can be very intense and in some cases dangerous.
That's true. But I do have to say, what I've experienced here at Penn State in the last few days, I've been talking to students, a lot of undergraduates, I realized with some of the questions that came up that this sort of overshadows a bit of the work of the UN, that people tend to look at, you know, the images in the media and think, wherever the UN is, this is going to be a dangerous situation. I can't say it's not going to be a dangerous situation, but I can say that it is similar to maybe when, you're volunteering in your community. There are a lot of activities in education, in community gender empowerment, for example, getting people just involved in, like you mentioned at the beginning, in local elections. Yes, there are a lot of different activities and assignments that one can be interested in. There are peacekeeping assignments, and these are civilian assignments within peacekeeping missions. But we make sure, and that's really highest on our priority list, that anyone that's a volunteer with UNV has the same security that any other UN staff member would have.
And I think the reason safety is in the forefront for many is that many have probably read that 34 UN staff members were killed in South Sudan, for example. So the UN is doing important but dangerous work in some places in the world.
Yes. There is situations where, of course, UN staff in general come under a very dangerous and sometimes life-threatening and unfortunately situations in this matter, and that happens. But we do our utmost to make sure that the fit is right. And of course, you have to know yourself if you're ready for such an assignment.
Now, you mentioned this registration, and from what I'm reading, there are something like 70,000 people with different professional skills who want to make a difference, who want to work with the United Nations. How do you go about matching them to a position, and what's expected of them? How much time generally, and what sort of living situations might they expect to be in once they're accepted into the program?
Yes, we have a great roster of a lot of people. It just shows, you know, again, the universal value of volunteering and how people also see an interest in globally reaching out. Something I want to mention is really also unique about the roster is not only the roster, but also the UN volunteers in the field, that over 70% of our volunteers are actually coming from the developing
countries,
world.
Right.
And this is something that is very innate in the United Nations. You know, it shows that this South-South cooperation is really becoming something that's very powerful within international development.
The South-South cooperation, explain what you mean.
Yeah. So unfortunately, the world in development terms is divided North-South, even though that doesn't make any sense really geographically. And what that means is developing countries or middle-income countries basically and giving or contributing to each other's development. So we look at South-South cooperation as something that is capacity building amongst people that might have been in similar situations, especially in peacekeeping. So you might have a situation where you have somebody that was perhaps doing something within a mechanics within a peacekeeping mission in the Congo, and they might be interested in volunteering their time to go to a peacekeeping mission in Liberia, for example.
30% of your volunteers are actually working in their home country. 70% are going abroad and serving in other countries. What motivates whether someone stays at home or goes abroad?
This is also a trend within the United Nations and within the developing community that we really encourage. When you look back at the history of development and the United Nations programming, you see that a lot of programs actually didn't do very well that were bringing in people from different cultures in order to talk about how to improve certain, let's say, infrastructures or certain education programs. And this is wonderful that actually volunteers are interested in assisting in their own communities, in their own countries. You know, they can relate to the local population. This is the uniqueness. This is really what volunteering is all about, is that, you know, they're closer to the community than perhaps one might be if one is doing something, a specialized UN staff member that is located in different countries in the world, and maybe a span of 5 years, they might be going to three different countries. If you have a national volunteer, you would have a person that has the expertise, but is also adapted to the culture and knows how to what we call capacity build. That's, you know, a big UN word, which basically means to transfer skills to somebody that's going to be staying and providing that consistent development to the communities.
Americans tend to have this impression of themselves that they are among the most generous people on the planet. So I'm kind of wondering, of the 6,300 volunteers that you have each year in the field, what percentage of them are Americans?
You know, I don't know exactly the percent, but I do know that it's a good handful, and I do know that there are definitely Americans. But what I think is essential, and what I really want to say, is that it is true. I mean, Americans are very generous, and not just generous, I would say the volunteer spirit within the United States is just tremendous. We work a lot with the Peace Corps, so that's why the percentage might not be there, because we do a lot of programming where we work with other organizations. For example, in the United Kingdom, there's also a huge volunteer movement, VSO. We work with them also on the ground. So you have Peace Corps volunteers that might be working hand in hand with UN volunteers. And yes, we also have Americans that are also working as international UN volunteers in different countries. For example, the coordinator of UN volunteers, the actual volunteer herself in Indonesia, she is an American, wonderful woman. And we have also a lot of people who have retired that might be interested after they have accumulated a lot of knowledge in their professions, they might desire to go out and share that with other people, other cultures, other communities. The spirit of volunteerism in the U.S. is something also that we advocate for. United Nations volunteers isn't just about mobilizing volunteers. We're also about the recognition of volunteerism and that it makes a difference. And wherever you are in the development of the culture and the development of actually moving things ahead and the eradication of poverty. So when you, as an American, you might volunteer in your local community, frankly, you're making just as much of an impact as you would be if you flew 5,000 miles away. So we really do see that as also part of our programming, and we really want to support that. We have International Volunteer Day on December 5th, and we have a campaign where we bring in and we try to recognize all different types of volunteering.
All over the globe.
Yeah.
If you're just joining us, this is Take Note on WPSU. I'm Patty Satalia. Our guest is Jennifer Stapper. She leads communications for the United Nations Volunteers Program, which mobilizes more than 6,300 people around the world each year as UN volunteers. I think one of the really interesting aspects of volunteerism is that you can now volunteer, and this is growing, expanding globally, is online volunteerism. Explain how that works. So from the comfort of my home, if I am passionate about making a difference, I can.
This is fantastic. We have an online volunteering program that is an integral part of United Nations Volunteers, and it works with a few clicks, basically. You get online and you decide that you want to sign up. You go through a few forms about your skill set, what you would be interested in doing, what you could offer. And then the system will basically generate. We have a great team sitting in Bonn, Germany, and the system helps to generate the matches, really, the needs of not only UN programs, but we also have a lot of international and national nonprofit organizations that are working on development and peace throughout the world. Just amazing. I know personally a woman from India, Kirthi, and she was working for years on advocating for education for a small community in Ghana, and she did the entire project online. And just last year, I actually interviewed her, and she was pleased to see that they had actually built a new school. They had actually generated funds and built a new school in that local community. And this success was all through online volunteering.
Interesting. The UN Secretary General says he's pleased with the success that the UN has made in reaching the Millennium Development Goals, but says that the progress has been uneven. And he made special note of women, women who are often left behind. So the story you just told is a really good one.
It actually is. I think online volunteering is a great opportunity for everybody, but it's particularly meaningful, I think, for people that aren't necessarily able to integrate their skills and to give in their local communities. If they're maybe having difficulties because of their gender, because of their disabilities, it gives them an opportunity to really reach out and use the skills they have without having to travel.
And also living in some of the countries where you might serve, you're living in the same conditions of the people you're serving with. So if there is not electricity or water, that's the standard of living that your volunteers will be living in as well.
That's true. But we make sure within the United Nations that any volunteer, we have a really very strict criteria of their living conditions and the support that they get through the United Nations offices in the country.
I have to bring this up because throughout its 70-year history, as you know, the United Nations has been the subject of criticism and controversy, and it comes from diverse groups. Today's accusations are different probably from decades ago, where we had the John Birch Society say, get us out of the UN campaign and that sort of thing. But today's accusations seem to surround or revolve around inefficiencies or claims of bias. And I'm wondering how you, as someone who has dedicated your life to the work that the UN does, how do you respond to that kind of criticism?
It's really important to hear actual people like myself that actually experience working within the system. I can truly say, and I have no doubts about this, that the United Nations is doing amazing work, that when you walk in the doors of the United Nations, all of those stereotypes crumble away. The intercultural working environment is just unbelievable. You can't imagine it. In fact, a colleague and a professor here at Penn State asked me a few days ago, you know, what is it really like? What is the diversity at the United Nations? And I said, 194 countries are represented. I meet new colleagues every day, and sometimes I have to stop and think when they tell me where they're from, exactly where is that country located? It's wonderful. And the fact is that, of course, with a very large organization, an intergovernmental organization that is basically on its own nothing because it's a group of actual governments working together, there are going to be situations where the mechanisms work slowly. But I really like to quote a former Secretary General, and this came up during the 70th anniversary of the United Nations when, as you mentioned, there were a lot of articles about, you know, how the UN can reform and how it can improve. And basically, he stated, and I really feel this is absolutely true, that imagine the world without the United Nations. And I think that's the perspective that we have to start to take, is that we have the United Nations. And we have to remember why it was created. It was created in the aftermath of World War II. We need to understand that without the United Nations, the world would be a much worse place. We would be living in a situation that we couldn't even fathom. And yes, there needs to be reform, but I think we're getting there. And working in communications, this is where I think it's so essential to get the word out that there are many positive things that the UN is doing.
I hate to say one more negative, but actually the reaction from the UN Secretary General to this, he was almost in tears when he acknowledged that there has been some sexual abuse by French and European Union troops affecting young girls and boys in sub-Saharan Africa. How big a setback does something like that pose?
It's horrible. It's absolutely horrible. And it's completely unacceptable. And yes, there's a setback, but there should be. I mean, I think that every organization should be accountable. And I think the United Nations is no exception, and we take it very seriously.
The United Nations volunteers are working in, I believe, 125 countries around the world, half of them in sub-Saharan Africa. How do you decide which countries to work in? And are there countries where you'd like to be, but the situation economically and socially or for whatever reason, it's not a good time to be there?
The United Nations Volunteers Program services other UN agencies and other UN programs and also the peacekeeping missions. So those agencies and those missions take the lead. So they let us know when they feel that a UN volunteer assignment would actually contribute to what they're doing in the countries. So we're not choosing the countries and the programs. It's actually our colleagues who are experts in actually managing those type of interventions that they would request a UN volunteer assignments.
There are a lot of young people, especially on college campuses, and you're here talking to young people who would like, I imagine, to serve with the UN, but they're thinking, oh, you know, I'd like to serve over spring break or Christmas break. You're looking for something much different than that.
We are. We're looking for not necessarily a long-term commitment.
But 30 months, perhaps,
yes,
know, over a year.
Yes. We look for at least a year. But more than that, we really are looking for skill sets that really contribute to certain programming, certain needs of certain countries where there might be an emphasis on, again, it could be water sanitation, it could be education curriculums, it could be, you know, gender issues. We do have young people that actually serve as UN volunteers. In fact, we have an entire youth program, but we have a very strict screening in order to make sure that this is something that people are interested in committing themselves to do beyond an experience that might be only a short-term commitment.
What UNV successes are you most proud of, and how optimistic are you going forward that the United Nations can meet these 8 millennial development goals and also the new, I think you mentioned, 14 sustainable development goals?
There's so many things I'm proud of. It's hard to choose one or two, but I've had the privilege of meeting quite a few UN volunteers. I visit programs in Burkina Faso, in Togo, and in Haiti, and I have to say that they're really individuals that have been so inspiring to me. For example, I met a PhD student who was from Tanzania, Amalia, and she was working in Haiti in the peacekeeping mission there, and she was doing an amazing project about basically environmental protection. There's a lot of issues in Haiti about erosion and environmental protection. She wasn't just contributing to society, but she was training actually local individuals who are becoming part of government programs that would last and stay on for years. And that to me was just one example of the thousands that really were, to me, it's so obvious that volunteers are making an impact and a difference.
Speaking of the environment, we've enjoyed an exceptionally warm winter here in Pennsylvania.
Have you?
We have. But because of the 2015-2016 El Nino, which is one of the strongest since 1950, it apparently is having an absolutely devastating impact on things like food insecurity issues in places like Africa. So I'm just wondering what work the UNV volunteers are doing in places where there's climate-induced natural disasters, which seem to be on the rise.
Yeah. The United Nations, I have to say, does a great job and also has a lot of expertise in humanitarian assistance. There is a lot of programming, the World Food Program, for example, that has really the logistics of getting in to help people is so highly sophisticated that you really have to be in awe sometimes when you think about the amount of organization that goes behind such a thing to get people food and water in such a short period of time. The United Nations Volunteers Program, we definitely have volunteers that are assigned to those assignments. But at times we actually do what's called special recruitment, which would be obviously if there was a natural disaster or a humanitarian situation that comes up and we're in need of UN volunteers actually in a short time span. And those are usually announced on our website.
Funding all of this is not easy. Since the UN's founding in 1945, the U.S. has been its largest funder. However, the U.S. has, under different administrations, withheld funding. So I'm wondering, why should the U.S. pay its dues in full? Why is that so important, in your opinion, so necessary?
I think, again, the United Nations, you know, if it wasn't here, what would the world look like? I think you just have to look at it from that angle. It's essential to keep the programs going that are actually making an impact. And United Nations Volunteers is definitely making that impact by putting people on the ground that are actually contributing directly to local development and peacekeeping.
What can concerned citizens do who want to help the mission of not only the UN volunteers, but also the United Nations in general?
I have actually an answer to that that might be a little bit unconventional. It might sound a bit different, but I truly think that it starts in your own community. I aspire to see that there'll be global citizens by the time that we celebrate the 80th anniversary of the United Nations.
And 10 years from now.
Yeah, or the 100th maybe, a little bit more realistic, that the people will have a better understanding how we are interconnected. And I think that we can do that in our own local communities by reaching out, for example, to refugee groups, to immigrants, that people that might be not exactly like themselves and simply maybe volunteer through an integration project, through a sports project. There's so many wonderful things that are done through sports. And then once you start to see as an individual what you get back, again, you know, it's a two-way street with volunteering, about getting to know somebody that comes from a different culture or that speaks a different language or is a different religion. You start to understand really how that interconnectedness, we're all human. You know, at the core, it's all about, we all have the same aspirations.
You know, I noticed from your resume that you made your way to UNV, United Nations Volunteers, from the Fairtrade International. And I've always wondered, is it working? Because, you know, I buy fair trade hoping that it's doing
excellent,
what it says it's
excellent.
Going to do.
That's another thing I'm very passionate about. So you've hit on a few of my things that I get very, very excited about talking about. Fair trade is an economic model that really does help development. Working on giving farmers basically the right price for their product is something that you can see the direct results of.
A fair price for their product.
A fair price, exactly. And, you know, there are products that are actually on the commodities market, coffee.
Chocolate.
Yes, exactly. And so, and you have to also realize there are things that we can't grow in the United States. They're totally dependent on us. And
you can feel better eating it if you know the person who did the actual growing, the actual hard work of getting it to us, is being compensated fairly.
Absolutely. Buy your fair trade products.
And on that note, we are out of time. Thank you so much for talking with us.
Thanks. It's been a pleasure.
That was Jennifer Stapper, Communications Chief for the United Nations Volunteers Program. She spoke at Penn State as part of the Arthur W. Page Center's Professional in Residence Program. To find out more, check the links on our website, wpsu.org/take note. I'm Patty Satalia, WPSU.